Hey, everybody, it's Andy. Welcome back to the North Point Community Church podcast. Hey, at the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download our free North Point app where you can access all of our recent message content. And actually, the app is the easiest way to share all this content with a friend, and it's the easiest way to keep up with everything going on around here at North Point. But most importantly, I hope the following presentation inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Enjoy.
Well, good morning. Once again, my name is Jamie. Really excited to be here with you guys. Have you ever been frustrated because you got a lame or an incorrect answer to an important question? Like whether you were calling tech support for something or just asking a friend or a family member about a problem or situation you had, or even you're just consulting an expert, you know, like a doctor or a lawyer. It's always frustrating when you get a bad answer to an important question. And that's why we started the series last week called Three Questions Everyone Has About God. And that's the motive behind it is that we all got questions about God and have had them our whole lives all along the way. And chances are many of you in the audience at some point have been given a lame or even worse, an incorrect answer to your question. And that's frustrating, not just because didn't get the answer you were looking for. It's a problem because a lame answer often leads to a lame faith. A faith that you're not even sure that you want to have if you're considering faith. Like, I don't know if that's really what I'm in for. Beyond that, wrong answers oftentimes lead to a weak faith. You know, one that doesn't stand the test of life and seems to waffle up and down because the answers you're working with aren't quite the ones that you need. Or even beyond that, I think incorrect answers can lead to an uninspiring faith. And maybe that's why some of us feel like we're struggling to find that gear in our faith that somebody else has. Maybe it's the answers that we're working with. Chances are, as many of us along the way have been given insufficient answers for some very important questions. And perhaps those answers are getting in the way, either keeping us from faith or from going deeper in our faith than we currently are. And that's what this whole series is about. We wanted to look at three of, I think, the biggest questions that you can ask about God, and hopefully in the process, perhaps discover that there are some far more compelling answers out there than maybe the ones that you're currently or that we are currently holding on to. And that as a result, maybe you'll rethink faith, perhaps, or re-energize yours in a way that it hasn't been for a long time. And like I said last week, so if you're someone who is exploring Christianity or God or checking it out for the first time or a first time in a long time, we are so glad you are here for this series. We just want these weeks to be helpful to you along your journey. That's the whole goal. Unfortunately, there are some bad answers out there. There are some people who may misrepresent God to you. And our desire is simply as accurately and as clearly as we can to just present God for who he is and help you make an informed decision. So I hope that's a great time for you during this series. If you are a Christian though, don't think for a second that this isn't for you. Don't forget that one of the purposes for showing up Sunday after Sunday is to remember the great answers you do have about God, the answers that you're gonna need to fuel your faith in the coming week or the coming month or the coming season. And so we absolutely hope that you dive into this series and remember and relish the good news of who God is all over again. And maybe you walk out of the series thinking, I almost forgot how good he was. And so we're hoping that for you as well. So that's where we're heading. Three questions that everyone asks about faith. And last week we tackled perhaps the biggest question that you could ask about God, one of the most basic ones, and that's just simply, who is he? Who is he? Who is God? Because there's a lot of confusion out there on who God is, perhaps a lot of misrepresentation, I would argue. And that's true in our day. It was true in Jesus's day as well, which is why he stepped into the middle of the conversation, kind of said, time out. Let me tell you who God really is. He is your heavenly Father. And that changes everything. And this week, we're gonna look at a second question that I bet every one of us in some way has wrestled with at some point. And I know that because it's a question that I've asked in my life and not just once, many times. In fact, I wanted to start by telling you the first time that I remember asking this question. It goes all the way back to eighth grade on a field trip to Coke World, where all good Atlanta boys and girls go for their field trips. And I'm on a school bus just playing a game on my, get this, scientific calculator. That's how desperate we were. Didn't have a smartphone. No, I was such a nerd, I programmed it on my scientific calculator. So I remember doing that, and I remember this conversation happening between two girls about religion. They were like, what religion are you? Blah, 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 blah. And I heard this happening. Well, at some point, one of them piped up and called to me, Jamie, what are you? And I turned around, kind of surprised a little bit, like, what? No, what religion are you? And I said, Oh, I'm a Christian, because that was the answer. I grew up in church most of my life. And then I went back to my little calculator game. But she wasn't done. That wasn't enough. In an even louder voice, she says, wait. Are you one of those Christians that like wants other people to be Christians? And y'all, she said this so loud, the whole bus goes like, Rick! You know, and looks at me, and I'm in eighth grade, so I'm like the maximum awkward that a person can be, you know? And I am just mortified. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm put on the spot. Everybody's looking at me. I start like stuttering like, yeah, you know? Because my church had done a good job telling me that the love of Jesus and the good news of Jesus was for like the whole world. And so I was just like, yeah, I think so. Yes. And she did that thing that teenage girls are really great at. It's like their superpower. You know how they can destroy your entire self-esteem with one facial expression? And that's what she does. She's something like, you know, like that, like just briefly. And then she turned not to me, but to her friend and was like, some people are so ignorant. And her friend's like, I know. and as an eighth grader, it just wrecked me. You know, I was so embarrassed. I felt put on the spot. I'm like, how does this even happen? I was playing a game on my phone. And I think the reason that it's such a vivid memory for me is because it's the first time that I can remember that following Jesus cost me something. You know, like up to that point, I'd just been going to church, it's all fun and games, you know, friends go there, so what we do. And then this was the first moment that I was like, wow, that was really unpleasant. That was the first time following Jesus cost me something. And what many of you know, that would have been the first time, but it wasn't gonna be the last. You know, every year since then, I've had plenty of moments where following Jesus, yeah, it cost me something. And so have you. No matter who you are, if you have been a Christian for like any amount of time, you have definitely had moments, or if you're not a Christian and you've just known one for any amount of time, I bet you've witnessed moments where following Jesus seemed to cost something. Like maybe you've had or seen moments where following Jesus was unpopular. Anybody ever had one of those, you know? Like the classic for me when I was a little younger was, you know, standing around with some guys and they're all talking about girls. And you know, it's never the most popular thing to be like, yeah, man, she's so beautiful. Can't wait to hold her hand and guard her heart. Right, guys? You know, like nobody's coming in for the high five on that one. And that certainly is something you discover as you grow up and even more areas of life, business, you know, hanging out, all kinds of ways that it can be unpopular. Or you've had moments where following Jesus was difficult. Yeah, you know, like when he wants you to do something and you're like, I don't want to do that. Or doesn't want you to do something that you really want to do. You know, like when Jesus's command to love one another runs into your anger or your impatience or your selfishness or your prejudice. And you're like, oh, that's tough. Or when Jesus's call to have sexual integrity and faithfulness in our relationships runs into your lust. And you're like, wow, that's a tough command. Or when his call to be generous to those in need just runs into your bank account. And you're like, man, this is a tough thing. It's difficult. But you've also had time when following Jesus was risky, you know? Like when you had a vision of the future and then God came along with his own vision of the future, you'd been holding on to one plan for your life and then God showed up with his own and you were like, oh, that feels risky. That feels a lot more uncertain than the thing that I got going on. I'm sure you've had moments like that, or you've just had moments when following Jesus seemed downright inconvenient. You know, like when God's values required that you took the long way around, but you worked in an industry where shortcuts were preferable, and God's just getting in the way of business. It's inconvenient. I mean, you've had moments like this. No matter who you are, you have had moments where following Jesus or the prospect of following Jesus costs something. And when those moments come, that's when it gets real. Like there's no Sunday morning feels anymore. The worship song's like, you know, scratch to a stop. And then reality sets in and rationality sets in and perhaps a little bit of a gut check sets in. And I bet in moments like that, you've asked this question right here. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Like, is it worth it to follow Jesus? I'm not talking about believing in Jesus, though if you're not a Christian, certainly that's the question that you're asking. But no, like, is it worth it to like all in follow Jesus? Like stuff we sing about on Sunday mornings kind of follow Jesus. Is it worth it or does he require too much? And the hard truth today, one that's been a hard truth for me, the hard truth is that for many of us in the room, like me for a very long time, you don't have a compelling answer to that question. Is it worth it? And maybe it's because the church you grew up in didn't give you a compelling answer, or the person that explained faith or modeled it for you didn't seem to have one themselves, or maybe you used to have a really compelling answer, but some how along the way your convictions faded and you're like, I can't really remember why, you know, what the answer to that question is. But nevertheless, I bet for many of us in the room, you don't have a compelling answer to this really, really important question about God. And I think potentially that explains a lot. It certainly has for me. It explained a lot in my faith. Like if you had known me for a long time, I think it explains why many of us in the room know what it's like to be sort of on the fence in our faith. You ever felt a little bit on the fence in your faith? Sometimes in, sometimes out. I think it's why many of us maybe know what it's like to be a percentage follower of Jesus, you know? Like, man, I'm in for these things. Yes, 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 yes. But these, nuh-uh. Heck no, I'm not doing that. You know, percentage follower. I think it's why some of us maybe know what it's like to be a little bit double-minded. And by that, I mean maybe you're one way or one person on Sunday mornings or afternoons, and then you're another way out in the world or at work or with your friends. It's why some of us struggle, I mean, are really good at singing it here, but we kind of struggle to live it out there or even outright refuse to do so. I think, this is true, I think it's why some of you aren't a Christian even though you kind of want to be. Because you're just like, I don't know if it's worth it. It's cost me something. I'm not sure if it's worth it. You don't have a compelling answer to this question. And it's why in our faith, a lot of us maybe we could say are like kids at a pool. I got a friend who does swim lessons and he said, Jamie, there are three kind of kids in my swim lessons. One kid is the one that stands out of the pool either crying or just going, no, you know, not getting in. Second kind of kid is the one that like sits on the edge and is like, I don't know, kind of in, kind of out. Third kind of kid is the one that just jumps in, all into the pool. Which one of those is the one that learns to swim? You can talk back. Yeah, the one who jumps in, right? And maybe that's a great question just to start this morning. Get your brain rolling. When it comes to faith or when it comes to your faith, which kid are you? Which kid are you in your faith? Some of you today, you'd say, no, I'm the kid standing out of the pool just going, meh. You know, like you've never been into the Jesus thing. You never followed Jesus. You're here with a friend and that's totally cool. We are so glad that you're here. We made this church with you in mind. But yeah, some of you would say, yeah, this is where I'm at, standing right here. But way more of us, isn't this true? Way more of us, and me included for a really, really long time, would say, no, this is where I'm at in my faith. I'm just kind of sitting on the edge. I'm some in, but I'm some out. Kind of testing the waters, like, I don't know. Man, I have sat right here in my faith for so many years, and maybe you identify, maybe you have been there as well. I bet many of us are here. But just so you know, go ahead and tell you, today is about the invitation to go all in. To just, whew. When it comes to your faith, when it comes to following Jesus, to go all in, 100%. Diving into the deep end, if you will. And that's what today is about, but I gotta tell you, it's all gonna go back to that question right there. Is it worth it? Because yeah, following Jesus will sometimes it'll cost you something. And if you and I, unless you and I have a compelling answer to this question, chances are we're not gonna spend the next year in our faith in the pool. We'll probably spend it on the edge or standing all the way out. Is it worth it? And what I'd like to do today, if I could, is just tell you what I have found in my faith, because I remember being there. I remember standing on the ledge. I remember being out of the pool going like, I don't know about that. Is it worth it? Is it not? Is it worth it? And I would just love today for a couple of minutes to share with you the verse from the Bible that called me all in, that convinced me to go all in. There's something that Jesus said, recorded in the Bible, that completely rocked my world and changed my faith. And for the first time, I got it. For the first time, it became so clear. For the first time, I had a compelling answer to why it's worth it. And maybe, just maybe, what he has to say is the answer that you've been waiting on, or that your faith has been waiting on, or the answer that you once knew, but you've forgotten after all this time. And maybe you need to remember again in a whole new way. And that's what I want to share with you. It's actually found in the book of Matthew's historical account of the life of Jesus. And there's two lines that I want to read from this particular passage that changed my faith and changed my life that I want to share with you today. Before I read them though, I want to give you a little bit of the context so that you can understand why it is that Jesus said what it is that he's about to say. And the context is this. This passage we're going to read, it comes right after a really famous passage, excuse me, where Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter responds, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." It's the Peter's confession if you've ever read the Bible. And this passage comes right after that. And Matthew notes that after this occurrence, there's a shift in how Jesus talks and almost a turn in how he does his ministry. Here's how Matthew says it. He said, from that time on, Jesus is about to make a turn. He's about to change the way he's doing things. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. So from that time on, that wasn't me, was it? From that time on, says Jesus, kind of began talking different, and he began telling the disciples about God's plan for his life. And it would be a little bit like your CEO of whatever company or you work for going, "All right, guys, we're gonna go to Washington, D.C., and here's what's gonna happen. Our stock price is gonna plummet, our market share is gonna evaporate, our board's gonna quit, I'm gonna go to prison, and all y'all's jobs are getting outsourced. Let's do this," you know? To which the disciples are like, "What? You know, hold on." And Peter, understandably, does not react well. Peter, of course, the bold one, he took him aside. You don't take aside the Son of God. And began to rebuke him, the boldness. And he just says, "Never, Lord. No way, never, Lord. This shall never happen to you." And I mean, you can understand that reaction. He's like, "No way, Jesus, there is no way you're going to Jerusalem and losing your life. I mean, are you kidding me with all the momentum we've got and all the miracles that are happening? I don't care whose plan that is, we're not doing it. It's not worth it," right? I mean, come on, we'll go to Jerusalem, but if they come after you, you're not laying down your life. You're gonna use your God powers to protect your life. I mean, we'll help a little bit, but we just, you know, you can handle it. No way, Jesus, it's not happening. I'm not gonna let that happen. And Jesus' response to Peter is, I think, the harshest response in his recorded history. He looks back at Peter, his friend, and he says, "Peter, get behind me, Satan." Never want to hear that from God. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Get behind me, Peter, get behind me, Satan. And this is why I wanted to read this context before we get to the verse, because we began this series a week ago talking about the fact that God is your father and he has a plan for your life. And then this week we've run into the question, yeah, but is it worth it? Is it worth it to go all into that plan? And what I love about this moment is that Jesus, the Son of God, is actually standing in our shoes. He's got his friend going, "No way, it's not worth it." And Jesus is looking back at him going, "Bro, God is up to something. Peter, God is up to something. Like, he's got a plan for me. He's got a plan to take me into his greatest work, his most daring plan that he's been unfolding since the Garden of Eden. And bro, you're getting in the way." That's another translation though. He says, "Peter, you're getting in the way. I am God the Son, sent by God the Father to suffer and die for the sins of the world and rise from the dead to unleash new life into the world. Like, Peter, he's got a plan for me, and I don't want 50% of it. I don't even want 75% of it. I don't want 99%. I want 100% of all that God has for me. So listen, I know you mean well, but get behind me." That's what's going on. And then Jesus literally turns towards Jerusalem. And he goes all in into the greatest work of God in human history. And he lays down his life for the world. All in. But what makes him such a great leader is that before he does that, he takes a moment to help Peter follow in his footsteps. He takes a moment to give 12 young men what they're gonna need to do what he's about to do. He takes a moment, get this, to speak through history to you and to me, to give us the words that we're gonna need to turn to God's plan for our lives and, like Jesus, decide, "I'm all in." And what he says next, those are the lines that I'm dying to tell you this morning. In the next couple of lines, he gives Peter and the boys a principle that I think is going to determine the trajectory of your faith and your relationship with God. And it certainly has mine. And this is the better answer that I hope you will discover today to what is a really, really, really important question. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus says to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Whoever wants to be my disciple or go all in with me, they must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Now this right here, it's an example of dramatic irony, obviously, because we know what he's talking about, but they at the time don't. Like, we know that he is about to go to Jerusalem and be arrested, falsely accused, sentenced to death, beaten, suffer, and then literally take up a cross and go up onto a hill and be executed by Rome. Like, we know that, they don't. But he is not talking about him here. What he's talking about is them. He's talking about us. He's talking about anyone who is considering or attempting to follow Jesus. And he's just saying, hey, let me keep it real. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. I'm not even gonna try to sell you on it. I just want you to know up front, if you follow me, if you decide to be my disciple, there are absolutely gonna be times when it costs you. There are absolutely, just want to tell you on the front end, there are absolutely going to be times when it is unpopular or difficult or risky or inconvenient to follow me. There are absolutely going to be times when it feels like you are denying yourself because you can't do something you want to do and you're doing something you don't want to do. And there are absolutely going to be times where it feels like me, you're going to pick up a cross figuratively and carry it, whether it be because people don't accept you or include you or are fans of what you're doing. That's absolutely going to happen. It's going to cost you something. Just keeping it real. To which I would imagine anyone listening in the moment, maybe us included, would go, then why would I follow you? You know, like, you're keeping it real, let me keep it real. Why would I do that? Like, why would I do that? Why wouldn't I be a percentage follower? Why wouldn't I be partially in? Why would I not pick and choose if this is what's gonna happen? And Jesus said, I'll tell you why. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What he says is a little bit cryptic. It sounds a little bit poetic. It's a little bit hard to understand. Let me just read it again. He says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me, well, they'll actually find it. And because I know that that's a little bit hard to immediately understand what it means, or at least it was for me, I brought an illustration today of what Jesus is saying about your life and about my life. And this is the illustration right here. This is my dog, Kobe. Yeah, oh, there he is, a little fluff ball. He's a golden doodle, and it's like a walking carpet. Doubles as a pillow. Sweet little dude. And this right here, for most of his life, was his favorite toy on planet Earth, tennis ball. Anybody's dog love a tennis ball? Yeah, you know, and how nasty do they get, don't they? Just absolutely, this is absolutely disgusting, this thing that I'm holding. And so he is, it smells, I can smell it from here. And he loves this tennis ball, and for the longest time, this was his toy. It wasn't the most ideal because it's gross, and he's not good at bringing the ball back, you know? It's just like, you're not gonna go get it and everything like that. But one day, I'm looking at it, and I thought, we can do better than this. And so I decided to go to a pet store and buy my dog a brand new toy. This is what I got. Look at it, isn't it cool? It's like colorful, it's got tassels, knots, it doesn't smell. We've had it for a while, still doesn't smell. It's like got something on it, I don't know. And we can play tug with it. He loves tug. It's just way easier than the fetch that never works out, you know? And I'm so excited, I'm so proud of myself. I'm like, he's gonna be proud of me. I'm a good dog dad, you know? And so I walk through the front door of our house with this in hand, and I'm like, Kobe, and I hear him coming on the hardwoods, you know? And I'm like so excited to give him this toy. The only problem is he runs around the corner with what? In his mouth. This guy, yeah. And I'm like, hey, buddy, drop the ball. And he's like, no way, you know? I'm like, no, drop it. Kobe, drop it, you know? And he will not drop the tennis ball. I cannot do anything to get him to drop the tennis ball. And it's just frustrating, right? Because he's like, he in his mind thinks he's holding on to and he's, you know, saving his most valuable possession in the world, playtime with his tennis ball. And I'm sitting there going like, dude, you're not saving anything. You're just losing out because I got you something way better. This is way more fun. We couldn't play with the toy I wanted to give him because he was holding on to the toy that he already had. Right? And believe it or not, that's what Jesus is saying about your life? You're like, he wants to give me a dog toy? No. It's way better than that. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life to the fullest. Those are his words. In other words, every single one of his commands, every one of the rules, every single principle, every single correction, every single rebuke, every single moment of leading your life or influencing your life, every single step of following him that he has ever invited you to take has one agenda, it has one purpose, it has one goal. I have come to give you life and life to the fullest. So yeah, if you're in the room today or you're watching online today, it's kind of as if Jesus has walked through the front door of your life and gone, here it is. There's the life I want to give you. And then here stands you and me, holding on to the life we already got. And we have a dilemma, right? Because in order to grab a hold of the life he wants to give us, we're gonna have to let go of the life we already have. In order to grab a hold of the life that Jesus wants to give us, you're gonna have to let go of the life that you already have. And the question is, well, what are you gonna do? Because yeah, I mean, you can hold on to this one, keep it and save it and protect it. You can absolutely do it. You can do what a lot of us do and do the percentage game. Like, I'm gonna play with this. I'm gonna play with this now. You could absolutely do it. You can do whatever you want. But if you do, God is gonna be sad. Why? Because to the extent that you hold on to this, you're gonna miss out on that. If you try to save it, you're gonna lose it. And that's a really big deal. Because this, the life that you have, you know, just on your own, it's neat. It gets the job done. But man, this one, the one that Jesus wants to give you, oh man, this one's incredible. This is life to the full S. Like this, the life that God wants to give you, that he's dreaming above for you, it is the most amazing, joy-filled, purpose-filled, passion-filled, growth-filled, redemption-filled version of your life that you could ever dream of. Like if you could see for 1 second the kind of life that God wants for you, I'm telling you, it would blow your mind. It is the full life. But don't let me undersell it at all this morning. It's not just a full life, it's a forever life. Jesus died and rose from the dead, not just to give you some couple decades of life, but to give you a life, if you can believe it this morning, that extends beyond the grave forever. That's the kind of life that we're talking about. And Jesus is saying, yeah, but to the extent that you hold on to this, you're gonna miss out on that. And that's the question that maybe I would like to bother us a little bit this morning, because it's definitely bothered me. The question I'd love to throw out at us this morning is, hey, how much of your life do you want to spend playing with the tennis ball? In how many areas of your life do you want to settle for the tennis ball? Like, hey, how much of your 20s? You know, how much of your 30s, how much of your 40s, 50s, and 60s, how much of whatever season of life you're in, do you want to spend dabbling with this? Christians, what percentage of your faith do you want to spend here? And my fear is that we will find ourselves grabbing so tightly to the life that we have that our hands won't be free to grab a hold of, or fully grab a hold of, the life that he wants for us. That's my concern this morning. My fear and my concern for us, for you, for me, for our families is that we will either entirely miss out on the life that God has for us, or we will settle for only a percentage. And that's what Jesus is saying. Hey, if you save it, you're gonna lose it. If you save it, if you hold on to it, you're gonna lose it. You're gonna lose out. But if you lose it, Well, now your hands are free to grab a hold of the life that he has for you. And that's what I wanted to tell you today. is simply this: at the moment you find your life is the moment you lose it to Jesus. The moment you find your life, ironically, or perhaps even paradoxically, is the moment that you lose it to Jesus, the one who came to give you life and life to the fullest. And that is true of you no matter who you are. I mean, if you're a skeptic or someone exploring God or considering Christianity, I just want you to know this morning that the moment you find the life that you're looking for, it actually is the moment that you lose it to Jesus. That's not just some nice saying. It's true, and you can try it. I'm telling you, I dare you to try it. Go try any of his commands for even any season of life and see if following him doesn't make your life better and you better at life. That's what he's up to. That's what he's offering you. Oh man, the moment you find your life is the moment you lose it to Jesus. It's true for us who are Christians too. The moment you find that next level in your life, that next level in your faith is any moment that you decide to lose it to Jesus. So keep saying yes to him. Don't stop. The full life isn't something you finish. It's something that you never stop running towards. Don't you dare stop losing your life to Jesus, because he's not done inviting you into more of his. Don't stop losing your life to Jesus. He's not done inviting you into more of his. And that's why it's worth it. That's why it's always worth it to follow Jesus for the first time or for the 400th time, even when you know it'll cost you something. Why? Because Jesus isn't just offering you some advice or some songs or a thing to do on Sunday or some sermons that are incredible. He is holding out to you life. He wants something for you, not something from you. And if it ever feels like it costs you something, you know why that is? It's because he's trying to pry your hands off of something sort of good so that you can grab a hold of something better. It's because he's trying to get your hands off of something fleeting so that you can grab a hold of something fulfilling. It's because he's trying to get your hands off of something temporary so that maybe, just maybe, you could grab a hold of something eternal. That's why it is worth it. That's why it's worth it. And I remember hearing that for the first time. And for the first time, I was like, oh, yeah, that's a reason to follow Jesus. And I actually remember the night that I decided to go all in. I heard someone tell me this. And that was the night that I decided to go all in and follow Jesus. And certainly it's a decision, you know, I've had to remake many times again in different ways through my life. And I bring that up because I just want to say this. If you were to ask me right now, hey, Jamie, was it costly? Did it cost you something? Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, of course. Was it ever unpopular? Yeah. Was it ever difficult? Absolutely. Did you ever fail? All the time. Did you ever feel like you had to deny yourself or that what he's talking about, like take up a cross and follow him and it maybe changed the trajectory of your life, or it wasn't easy all the time? Yeah, absolutely it felt like that. Were you ever made fun of on a bus to Coke World? As a matter of fact, yes, I was. Was it worth it? Oh, you guys, absolutely. Absolutely. Because what I have gained in him makes anything that I have lost seem just like nothing. Like I literally genuinely have seen for myself what Paul was saying when he wrote, nothing compares to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I would lose everything. Like I've seen for myself, it's true that if a person is in Jesus Christ, they can be a new creation. I've seen for myself that God actually can and wants to do immeasurably more than anything I was asking or imagining for my little life. And what he's doing in the world, it's the greatest thing anybody's doing in the world. What he's saying in our world right now, it's the greatest message anyone is saying in our world. And where he is leading, it's the greatest place that I could ever hope to end up. Like he actually is unimaginably awesome. And so I just had to tell you, I just wanted to tell you, it's true. The moment you find your life, it is the moment you lose it to Jesus. And it is so worth it. It is so worth it. Whether it's for the first time or for the 400th time, you will never regret following him. You will never regret saying yes to him. You will never regret going all in. And that's the crossroads that maybe some of us are at today. The crossroads of what are you holding on to? And what are you gonna be holding on to when you walk out of here? Or when you close that computer? Because some of you are sitting here thinking what I was thinking some years ago. I need to drop a tennis ball. And if that's you, I'd love to give you a chance to do it. Now, some of you might be in one of two categories. One category of you might be like, you're not a Christian and you've been coming around here as a favor to somebody, or you've been watching because your grandma's like, you gotta watch, you know, go watch Andy Stanley. And you've just been coming around maybe for a minute, maybe for a couple of Sundays. But what's happened to you is that somewhere along the way, you've run into something real. You actually ran into someone real. Like you've run into a Savior who is alive and who has something for you. And you've run into the amazing truth that long before you've been thinking about him, like he's been thinking about you, you know? Long before you've been coming around him, he's been coming after you. Long before you've been interested in him, he has been in love with you. And you are standing, you've realized, in face to face with a God who is offering you life. Like full life and forever life. And maybe today needs to be the day where you drop the tennis ball and you grab a hold of life in Jesus. Maybe today needs to be the day you say something like, hey, I believe that my life is found by losing it to Jesus, so I'm in. That's what it means to become a Christian, by the way. It's not go to church or follow a list of rules or anything like that. It's coming to the point where you realize, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is offering me life, and I want it. I believe it and I want it. I believe it and I want it. I'm in. And maybe today needs the day for some of you where you do that. And you can even feel it right now. You can feel it. You're like, holy cow, I think I believe it and I think I want that. Well, what are you waiting for? What do you say you drop the tennis ball and grab a hold of the life that God wants to give you? And in just a second, I'm gonna give you a chance to do that. Before I do though, one other crew of us, maybe even more of us in the room probably, are in a similar position as Christians. It's possible to be a church person and be at a very similar crossroads. And it's not the crossroads of belief in Jesus. No, you got that. Like you believe in Jesus. The crossroads that you are at is the crossroads of fully following him. Are you gonna be a percentage follower, or are you gonna be all in this next stage of your life? And some of you have realized it is time to stop being a percentage follower, because you don't want 50% of God's plan for your life. You don't want 85% of the life that God has for you. You don't want 99, you want 100%. You don't wanna be a percentage follower because you don't wanna be a percentage experiencer. You're like, oh man, it's worth it. Why would I not? I am not gonna stop losing my life to Jesus because he's not done inviting me into his. And maybe today you wanna drop the tennis ball and go, I'm all in. I'm not dangling my feet on the side. I'm going all in. Jesus, whatever, wherever, whenever, whatever you have in front of me, the answer is yes. And so if that's you, whether for the first time you wanna follow Jesus, or you wanna fully follow him for the first time in a long time or ever, you know, as a Christian, I would love to give you a chance to just say yes to Jesus tonight. So let's pray. And you can get in whatever posture makes sense for you with prayer. I'm gonna close my eyes so you can feel comfortable doing that if you want to. But I just want you right now, not to talk to me, but just talk to your Heavenly Father and say something like this. Say, I'm in. Just tell him that. I'm in. I believe that my life is found when I lose it to you. So I'm in. Tell him that. I believe that you want to give me life and life to the fullest. I believe it. Jesus, I believe that you can give me life and life to the fullest. I believe it and I want it. I believe it and I want it. Just tell him that. Tell him that. Tell him that. Don't settle for just coming to church this Sunday. Tell him that. Don't settle for just running into Jesus on Sundays. Say yes to him right here, like right now. Just tell him that. Don't settle for just seeing the light. Why don't you step into it? Because that's where you find life, when you say yes to Jesus, the light of the world. Step into the light and just tell him yes. Just tell him yes. God, as best as we can this morning, many of us, we're just trying to say yes. We're trying to pry our hands off of our own life so that we can grab a hold fully of everything that you have for us. And as best as we can, we're trying to say yes right now. We're saying yes to you. We believe, Jesus, that you came to give us life and life to the fullest, and you pulled it off because you died for the sins of the world and you rose from the dead, and we want all of it. We're all in, and we're saying that to you this morning. We're stepping into the light that we could come alive in you, Jesus. And so I just pray that we might all experience life in a way that we never have before because we decide to follow you in a way that we never have before. And I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.